Yo.
Hi.
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 Hi. You were like, yo, and I was like, oh, wait, it's starting that soon?
I wanted to make sure that I at least let you guys know that it was okay to talk now. You can talk.
I'm talking. I'm talking.
So,
hi.
I'm Rance.
I'm Bob.
And tonight we have a special guest. Who are you?
Hi, I'm Lithia.
Who the hell are
What's
you?
What's up?
Why are you so special?
Who am I?
Noise.
Yes. This is our sister. The brother from the same mother that is not a brother, but rather a sister.
Yeah, it's weird. I know.
Look, we were developed.
I mean, it had to happen sometime.
We were developed from the same.
Did it?
The same seed, basically.
Did it have to happen?
After that, no, I don't think so.
Well, at least you're already getting spectacular compliments on your hair. So
yeah.
I'm busting into my...
Congrats, you have hair.
You have hair.
Congrats. Thanks.
I'm busting into my strawberry lemonade truly, as usual, so that way I can enjoy myself and get increasingly tipsy as this process goes forward. Because I don't know what tonight holds. Having a podcast with one living clusterfuck and a second living clusterfuck and then a third living clusterfuck is absolutely... It's terrifying.
This is going to be a hot mess.
It is.
I don't like this.
How was your guys' week? Tell me about your week before we get started. Talk about the book.
I mean, let's let our guest go first because I don't know.
I work. I don't have a life. I really don't.
Yeah. You told people what to do all week. That's pretty
I do.
Cool.
Tell people what to do, and then I pass out for 2 days on my couch afterwards, and then I go back and do it all again.
That's a good idea.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I was I'm hitting my mic. That's what I do for fun. I was also at home on staycation this week, and our youngest, his dad had to get tested for COVID. So he got to stay with us, and he is a talker. So I haven't had silence for 2 weeks.
You know,
so is this an escape?
Yeah, this is less talking than would normally be happening into my ears constantly.
You know what helps take care of that?
Beer. Talking about beer,
yes.
Man.
Yes. So
right.
My week was not special either. I just did this. I was really excited. I read. I both listened to the Audible version of Sandman. And I also read the first arc of the comics as well.
Good for you, overachiever.
I overachieved again.
I did the same thing, so it's fine, Rance.
Thanks.
Bob, don't be a hater. First thing.
Right.
I'm definitely not jealous, I'll tell you that much.
and then I also stepped back, and this is the part I didn't tell you guys for the podcast. I did overachieve. And I also reread my copy of Hellblazer, because I
which storyline?
That is the original. It's the original Garth Ennis Constantine.
Right. Like the run where he starts like from the inception of the character.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Because like I was actually just thinking about that because that look, hey man, do we have a spoiler thing up yet?
No, we don't actually. So what I'm going to do is I am going to go ahead and click us to our no spoiler quarantine.
Okay.
However, I am going to say prior to that that we are probably going to be spoiling some things for other media. Like the Sandman's been around since the 80s. People have read it before. We're going to talk about some of who these characters are from the get-go. I don't know if the spoilers thing really matters too much at this juncture, but I'm going to put it anyway, and we can still talk about stuff like Hellblazer and Constantine and other stuff like that. So I'm
right.
Going to put that up there.
Well, because it's important coming into this too,
yeah.
To
Absolutely.
Have that kind of stuff, because there are, I mean, it's about Dream, but it's got so many other background characters that if you don't know about it, it opens up a whole new world.
So I'm actually really curious too. So I'm gonna switch over to our spoiler quarantine. So that's the 30 minutes starts now. But
can I can No, you go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna say, well, we first came to know. So have you guys read any Neil Gaiman before this?
This is my first exposure to anything Neil Gaiman other than on a periphery. I have not watched, except for Lucifer. I watched the television show Lucifer. That's it, which I didn't even realize until like into the third season that he's the same Lucifer from the Sandman comics.
That I didn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did not know that. Is.
Yeah.
Wow.
Death series. That was my big time.
Yeah.
Big mm-hmm. time in the mid 90s. I was all about the Death series.
Well, so the graphic novels?
Yeah.
See, this
yeah,
is
the comic books and the graphic novels.
You can call them comic books. It's
fine. It's comic. No, because back then it was comic books.
It's comic books.
You had to wait.
Look, I don't want to listen to you. I don't want to read dumb graphic novels. I only read comic books and audiobooks.
They're not dolls. They're action figures.
The action figures.
I actually did not know that because this is my first foray into reading at least the Sandman. So I've read Neverwhere and Stardust in the past.
I keep forgetting I saw that movie. Yeah.
Some of the more, I guess, well-known Neil Gaiman things I have not read, which I think I'm woefully underinformed about Neil Gaiman and his contribution to fiction and fantasy fiction, speculative fiction as it is now. So I got to be honest with you, before you, Lithia, you were the one that told us, hey, this is this Audible original version of The Sandman that is produced specifically for Audible is up here. You guys should read that. It was nowhere on my radar. I had never thought that I was going to be reading the graphic novel. So you're more or less to thank for us having the idea to jump into it.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. That's great. That's really cool.
Yeah, thanks, Lith.
You're welcome, Bob.
Bob, you don't seem to be very happy at the moment.
I don't like this book, man. I didn't enjoy my week at all. Except for one very important thing, which is I will say that Neil Gaiman and James McAvoy, they can both just ear fuck me to sleep all night with their voices.
They can speak into your underpants.
The time.
Dude, I don't need to listen to what the actual content of the book is. I just want them whispering. And even Neil Gaiman, like, I was surprised that was him. And I was like, dude, he sounds like Anthony Head.
I couldn't believe it. I could not. I had to go back. I was like, who's this narrator?
I was like, it's Giles from Buffy.
Yes. Yes. Uh-huh. I was like, who is this fantastic person they got to narrate? I was, you're shitting me.
Right.
I was like, I'm a fan already. I'm a fan.
A great thing about this audiobook that I think more audiobooks should do is it includes the first time I've ever seen with an audiobook from Audible, a PDF with its credits and like some important information. Cause it's such a, we can say that it's a very,
that
disappeared.
Yeah.
It's a very overproduced piece. Some people would say it's just got a lot of production value. In my opinion, it's overproduced. Uncomfortably overproduced.
This is where we're already going to have some disagreement because mm-hmm. I felt it had an old-fashioned radio show feel to it, and I loved it.
I don't go to Audible for radio shows. I go to Audible for one narrator reading me a book. That is where we differ, because when I sit down for an audiobook, Rance and I have had this argument about World War Z, which I think is a completely different thing. I think this and World War Z fall in the same thing, and World War Z is a great gateway drug to get people into audiobooks if they're not already, and I think this is as well. But as a person who reads audiobooks for a specific like thing, I don't like it. I don't like the music. I don't like it. I don't dislike the idea of the episodes, but then separate it into episodes. I don't like, give me a different one every week for 20 weeks or however many there are, because I don't like it keeps stopping, and it actually breaks it up for me.
Well, I think one of the things that's most remarkable about this, and this is, and you're right, and Bob, I was actually sort of anticipating that statement. I sort of felt from the beginning of reading this, knowing that it was this overproduced experience, because there isn't actually a like beginning to end novel text form of this. It's all a graphic novel that. Going into it was like, okay, I have to know off the bat, I'm not listening to an audiobook, I'm listening to an audio production. I am listening, and Lithia, it's funny that you said that, because the first thing that came to my mind was old memories. I have a lot of nostalgia, as I'm sure you do, you both do as well. Having basically been produced from the same reproductive seed as our old fart old man, RIP. I grew up, especially with that old man, and one of my fondest memories was listening to The Shadow, listening
there
to
you go.
Lone Ranger,
yep.
listening to The Whistler. And we would go, I have a very distinct memory in mind of when he and I drove to Indiana in a in the motorhome to get it fixed. We were driving very late at night. I was about 15 at the time. We were driving very late at night, and it had a tape deck in it, and we were just going through The Shadow and The Whistler, and I have my hair literally stands on end because it's one of my fondest memories with my father. It literally miles in the middle of the night, in the middle of nowhere, just listening to these amazing stories that even nowadays I'm amazed existed in the 30s and 40s. And hearing an audio drama and hearing the noise and hearing these overacted moments, you know, these women and these men who are talking like this the whole time. Oh my gosh, The Shadow's here. And he does the laugh and you know, so I went into it ready for that nostalgia, and what I did get was an experience that I think hit me well, Bob, because I am just connecting this to all this weird childhood nostalgia. So, like, I'm going into it already weakened with the expectation that I was going to love it.
I have to say, because Lith, I don't want to cut you off. I know you have things you want to say. I can tell by your face. I don't dislike the production value as itself for the most part. I dislike it as an audiobook for me. It's not what I would choose.
Sure.
I don't hate it because of the audio production. I think it tells a story very well. And I do think that keeping in mind that it is a audio adaptation of a visual media, much more so than a book as a comic book. I think they're doing a really good job of that, even though I don't know the original source material.
Bob, do you think it's too much input for you? Like, if it was toned down? Because for me, that's the kind of thing that I like. To have one person jumping around and reading all kinds of different characters sometimes gets boring for me. And I like the different voices coming in, and I like, I love the music in the background. Parts where they're smoking a cigarette and you can hear that cigarette getting sucked in. I mean, I loved it. That is the kind of audio stimulation that I like. So do you think that possibly it's too much for you?
I need you to know that I'm not a fan of ASMR. I don't I'm not trying to do ASMR to give you the tingles.
Now, and see, I love ASMR.
No, you see, like, I'm not about it. Don't need it. Maybe it hits me in my
in your bad place
ADD a little bit hard.
It
hits me in my attention
deficit. Could you show me on the doll where the ASMR touched you, please?
All we see is your background.
It
touched me in my Sandman.
Who is that in the background?
In the background for me this week is Sandman, the real Sandman, the former ECW wrestler smashing a beer into his face, because that's the only Sandman that I'm going to get down with, even though my cat is partially named after the Spider-Man Sandman. It was actually a choice. I had to make a choice between, like, the Spider-Man enemy Flint Marko or this Sandman, and I just thought this Sandman would be funnier.
You know, I didn't make that. I didn't think at all about that. But when I think of the Sandman, I actually think of him being what I would consider, Bob, the bargain basement Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, he is. I mean, I don't know wrestling history well enough. So my boys out there that are, like, listening and going, let me tell you about this wrestling thing, my friend. I don't know. And you're right. Like, he kind of was. But also, he was the one that could say the F word on the air because he's ECW right. And not, you know. I love me some Stone Cold, though, man. Got to get those Stone Cold margs.
Oh, hell yeah.
Shawnee boy. Loves those Stone Cold margs.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, hell yeah.
That's the dude who's so surprisingly liberal to me.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
oh yeah.
Holy crap, Stone Cold, like,
I don't care who the hell you love as long as you do it on your own time. I don't care. I'm all about everybody loving everybody else, so it doesn't matter. Uh-huh. Stone Cold don't give a shit.
Man, we should have a conversation between Stone Cold and George R. R. Martin someday. Hey, has George R. R. Martin done anything stupid this week?
No, George R. R. Martin has done nothing stupid. Hugos. No, he's done nothing stupid because his existence is just stupid. So I wanted to actually, so going into this, for those of you, for people who maybe have not read Sandman or been exposed to it, I gotta be honest with you guys. Going into it, I was totally, had no background at all in the idea that a Vertigo comic, as it was originally published, would ever cross over in my head. I know it was DC, right? But I thought DC was just the publisher. So when Neil Gaiman, who is narrating this, begins talking about Arkham Asylum, begins talking about characters, Gotham City is the first thing he mentions, like in the third episode. And I was like, wait, what the hell? What the hell is this? And I that was really exciting to me, because the minute that they mentioned John Constantine, I was so fucking excited, because John Constantine is one of my favorite characters, despite how little I know about him. And Bob, why are you angry? Why are you angry?
Tell us, Bob.
Because I started listening to it. Dude, okay, as a character who has been immortalized in such amazing movies as the Keanu Reeves movie, which I'll argue, if you go back and watch that, if you don't think about him being John Constantine as though he's the character from the Marvel comics, not that bad a movie.
No,
like,
it's not.
It's on its own. But having watched the series, loving the comics, I can't remember the name of the dude who plays him
in Matt Ryan.
Is now the Arrowverse. Yeah,
Matt Ryan, who is remarkable.
But I can't handle it for some reason when they call him Constantine, and I'm like, no, it's John Constantine.
Really?
It's the difference between the British pronunciation and the American pronunciation.
Look, he's a Brit, and he's calling himself Constantine all over every media that I've ever seen. Why are they all of a sudden like so having such a hard on for calling him John Constantine?
If Neil Gaiman is involved in this and he knows it's John Constantine, what it is.
Okay, so he included Constantine in a lot of his stuff.
Yeah,
but he didn't create Constantine. You're talking about it's Alan Moore, and like even some Garth Ennis. Like I mean, don't get me wrong. Again, I'm not busting on Neil Gaiman and his comic book balls. Like, good for him, man. He's got them and he's got the clout. But like, I don't like it when you call a character by a different name.
I think that was probably, honestly, I have a feeling that was probably somebody like James McAvoy. So James McAvoy voices Death, right?
Dream.
He voices Dream. I said Death because I've been thinking about Death a lot, because it's actually my favorite part of the audiobook.
I think about Death a lot too, bro.
Me too. I think about how I'm not escaping it. In DC... in the first run of Sandman, there's a ton of these DC characters, right? And that actually ends up later on in the series, like, fading out. It's only sort of in the first part of the run. And then after a while, Dream goes on and he has these interactions with characters, like different characters in, like, Asgard. But not like Marvel Asgard, like, you know. Different
mythology, actual mythology, right? Well, one of the things to know, though, about the comic book, graphic novels, whatever they were released as a comic book, is that the first one did come out under DC flagship January 1989. And it didn't come under Vertigo until 1993. So that's why you see so much. Hello.
Somebody's old as fuck.
Thank you. Exactly.
It's me. It's this guy right here.
It's me. No, me. That's why you have so many crossovers at the beginning, because this was very, very controversial when it was first released. There was comic book stores that wouldn't carry it because they were like, this isn't DC. What is this crap?
It's almost like that time where those Final Fantasy characters met those Disney characters and created an amazing game, but we didn't want to admit that it was going to be fucking amazing.
Exactly.
Oh, that going down into the Little Mermaid's world would be such a good time.
Somebody in the chat just said that the reason there were so many DCU references in the first run of Sandman may have been corporate mandate, right? Like, here, you're going to do this thing. We're taking a chance, but you got to drop the names. And that reminds me a lot of Alan Moore with Watchmen, too, where they were like, Alan Moore's like killing, like originally, like the intent was to kill off all of these characters in Watchmen. And they're like, you know what? Actually, we're not going to do that. So you're just going to make your own.
Yeah, they were like, I know, like the Question and a couple other like characters, and they were like, "Yeah, no, bro, you can't have these dudes. You got to
so
make it
if
up.
if you go really deep into the Sandman rabbit hole, these are actually based on original DC characters.
Yeah, I knew that Sandman
long
like
time ago.
That there's actually some cool things in this that like without spoiling, there's references to those the previous Sandman, both at least. Two of the previous Sandman characters in some of the characters that he mentions in the first couple of stories. Like there's one where he gets back into the dream realm and he mentions that his guy mentions that two dudes are gone and they're from the previous Sandman in the comic continuity. And then the other Sandman with the gas gun, like, is like I think the first Sandman.
I think that was
right.
That was one of the things that. So in reading this, we go through the first part that we're choosing to stop talking about. It's a whole story, right? But it does suffer a little bit from that same weird. I'm gonna just call it weird comicness, where you read a comic book and you can feel those places in there where a comics writer or artist is like, I got this cool fucking idea in my head, and I'm just gonna put it down, and it's so randomly weird and off-kilter and almost off-putting because it doesn't have the usual narrative flow of like a beginning, middle to end book. So there's all these moments in the first, I will be honest with you, I loved the first episode because this is broken down into episodes for those of you who so very audio drama. I mean, each one after the first one has been half an hour long. I hated like the second two episodes because they were about characters who don't really show up again. And we're going to talk more about that in the spoilers, but they're these odd characters. You had mentioned this, I think, specifically by text, Bob. Somebody made a decision to have a stutter. But that's based, you know, the comic. The character is stuttery.
Yeah, and that's one of my problems. Like, honestly, find a better way to do it nowadays. I have a lot of problems with when we get into talking about it that I'll go into specifically. Sure. A lot of my problems with this are the fact that it is so clearly of its time and it doesn't age well. Like I don't think it's aged well at all, and for them to go back and go, hey, well, we're trying to build interest, like, I don't know, did Neil Gaiman need a couple extra bucks and was like, I'd like to start selling my back catalog?
The movie wasn't coming out quick enough for him.
Well, there ain't no movies coming out right now.
Well, Gaiman himself specifically said, he was like, I'd rather there be no Sandman movie than a bad one.
Yeah, so and good for him. Like
he loves this. I mean, I was thinking about that reading through it because I know that you had mentioned that to me, Bob, that you were like, I think some of these things are a little like, it's definitely a product of its time, but I also don't feel like it tries to be anything but a product of its time. It's very 80s, 90s.
And I don't think so either.
Even references to things like AIDS are in it. And they're right. I mean, that is all. It like word for word straight from the comic book. Like they were absolutely trying not to like update it. It was all. I feel like it might have served better to lock it into the 80s, like with a quick like, you know, Gotham City or Mayhew, Delaware, 1989. Like that might have been helpful. Because yes, I do think there are distinct differences in the way that we represent things like mental health, from this into, you know, the 20s, but.
I figure that's 30 years ago,
right? But I think that's what I'm
more
saying
than 30
is that,
years
like,
ago.
I live in a world where I'm used to the same stories being told in movies and even redone in comic books over and over again, specifically in adaptations from comic book.
Yeah.
That Marvel always, so you can be a DC fan all you want. Marvel, as far as their marketing and the way they've adapted their properties into movies, 100 times ahead of DC, yes, on every front, except maybe Batman sometimes. But let's face it, we can only take Dark Knight Returns combined with Batman Year One so many times.
Tom Hardy's worst fucking role, man. What happened to that guy for that movie? Were they just like, Tom, here's a lot of crack cocaine. I'm going to need you to go back to who you were when you did Star Trek Nemesis. Be on that crack cocaine.
Just talk like this, Batman, because that's what Bane is.
Fuck that. I remember coming out of that movie and being like...
Maybe we'll get into that one day, but like
this is a great movie, and then 20 minutes later, I was like, that movie was garbage.
No, it was trash, man. I hated that movie.
This is a horrible movie.
Batman, The Dark Knight Rises is... not. Wait, which one is that? Dark Knight Returns? Dark Knight Rises. Yeah, Dark Knight Rises is a garbage movie.
Send all police into the tunnels right now.
Mm-hmm. Everyone in the tunnels. We're gonna blow it up. We need to blow up the tunnels. Is that what happened? Did they blow up the tunnels?
But really put all the police down there, please. So
what I'm saying is that I don't think that like Marvel has taken storylines like Demon in a Bottle from Iron Man, other storylines where there's issues with them being of their time. The Hank Pym problem. We look at Hank Pym and we know now that, like, in the Marvel Comics continuities, like, Hank Pym's a scumbag because he beat his wife.
Yeah.
And they tried to go, oh, hey, well, look, that was a thing that was of its time. And, you know, back in the day where men could hit women, I guess, like, I don't know.
Apparently that was a thing people
could apparently
do.
That was acceptable socially. But so now people were like, no, that's not cool. So they went with one of their, their legacy characters as opposed to picking Hank Pym as the Ant-Man. And, like, you can take these stories. I think you can make them work with a modern sensibility and cut out some of the things that I'm finding to be problematic. Like, my world, listening to stories now and reading and watching things, we live in a world that's, I think, more socially aware. And if you want to survive, you got to do that. But, and I don't think they did a great job of doing that in this.
But Lithia, I don't want to, like, jump on your feet. Like, do you want
to say
something? No. I'm listening. I'm totally listening.
I mean, I have it right behind me, right? So for those of you who are just listening to this and not seeing it, I've got Arkham Asylum. Like, Arkham Asylum is Arkham Asylum for the criminally insane. Like, we never, ever, ever... In any kind of Batman story, right? And obviously it's not a Batman story. Arkham Asylum is in it. Gotham's in it. DC crossover, what have you. I don't think any of us ever look at Arkham, even now, with our awareness of how mental health and things like that have improved and our understanding of mental health, go like, Arkham Asylum is a really bad representation of mental health care. It's a fucking garbage representation of health care. Like,
it's in the title itself. For it's the criminally insane.
And it's meant to suck. And it's also like the Batman comics possess that weird out of timeness where that's almost okay because it's a world of this perfectly chaotic yet orderly justice where there is, and I was one of the things that I talk about when I'm teaching like stories about insanity, right? Is that there is a form of narrative madness and narrative insanity that is totally different and truly not realistic compared to actual mental illness. And I would say that was a product of the fact that your authors like Edgar Allan Poe, who really tried to delve into that, madness is a great fucking device. I'm going to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had later, like in the 1890s, you had people like Charlotte Perkins Gilman who were actually like, hey, here's how we actually write about, you know, mental illness. Who she was her own problem in her own.
Oh, so too. We're not talking about just not describing undescribable horrors.
Yes. It was a horror that couldn't be described. Well,
then don't do it.
So I'm a firm believer in the acceptance of, like, narrative insanity. Like, the narrative insanity in a story like this or in Batman or even in Edgar Allan Poe is this level of insanity that is storytelling only, like, Mm-hmm. I have to accept it in the context of that world because that's why the Joker exists. That's why the Scarecrow exists. And I don't see that as a disrespect to mental illness. I see it as more this embodiment of like a fictional insanity that isn't intended mm-hmm. to represent either good or bad mental illness as we know it. If that makes sense.
I'm not even necessarily busting on that level of the storytelling. Okay, so let's look at it like this.
I mean, we have 5 minutes left on the spoiler quarantine, but we can just pop right into it if we want
to. No, we're fine. We're fine. Okay. I'm a recovering goth.
Yeah.
Okay. Every day, I think about the fact that I used to have long black hair halfway down my back. I wore makeup. Look a lot like the characters in these stories that are being described.
Tell me more. Tell me more about your recovering gothhood.
I just want to know. Do you like stories about spooky stuff? Do you like things that are so spooky that make you shiver at night, and that you think about the endless voids of insanity and madness? And the nightmare scape that is the human mind. Because you, my young goth friend, this is a book for you. You want to know about spooky stuff? This book's spookier than you'll ever imagine. It's so spooky that it's an 11 out of 5 on the spooktacular meter. So spooky. Stop trying so hard.
But you
got a real try hard here going,
"Oh,
I'm so scary. The madness of the human mind. Look out." That's what every single story in this is.
Yeah. Guess what your favorite fucking comic was when you were a kid, dude?
It was The Crow.
Exactly. So shut up. Like, you're done.
I'm saying I'm a recovering goth, but what I'm saying that as a 43-year-old man now, I'm a little more mature.
But
and
don't
I go,
you
can
love
you give
the
me
Crow
a little-
still?
Yeah, that's about a guy getting revenge
for
being murdered.
I mean, this I gotta be honest with you. The entire
this is about
way,
ooh dream.
No, see,
spooky
the entire,
dream
the
coming down and
reading this,
telling you about. Like,
this is about revenge too.
Yeah,
yeah, for the first like couple of chapters, and then it's just like, what is this?
But also, it's about this is only the first part. This is the introduction to who Dream is, right? Like, mm-hmm. Dream is intended to grow beyond this, and I think his conversations. We have 2 minutes. His conversation at the end of this movement, I will say, demonstrates this story. The first arc of the Sandman episodes are really only about him actually discovering what humanity is. I was thinking The Crow the entire time. I was thinking of the character, the protagonist, misplaced from their natural world, right? Mm-hmm. Against their will.
Here's where he gets all English teacher on you.
Put into a situation where they are the vengeful other, right? They're mm-hmm. not necessarily doing good things. They're simply doing what they know to do. Eric Draven was actually he was a vengeful spirit, right? He was the
Crow. He's a revenant. Yeah.
Revisiting damage upon these people who had done him and his wife wrong. But also, I think if we come out of it going like, Eric Draven's the fucking best, then we're not really actually understanding what J.O. Barr was going for.
He's the best, though, man.
He is the best. He's standing on top of a fucking.
He's gonna sit on it. He's gonna sit on a church and play electric guitar until it breaks. Yeah,
to shred it.
Smash the fuck out of it. But I actually was thinking all about The Crow when I was listening to this, and then when I reread it, I was really thinking about The Crow a lot.
I was thinking about how I wanted it to be over.
Why? You hated that?
Because I'm just not liking it. Like, I'm just not enjoying it.
I need to hear.
I can give you. Yeah, I know. We need to get in the specifics. Lith, we've just been trashing, like bouncing all over the place and not giving you a chance.
No. This is your opening thing. I am good with this. I'm waiting. I am just waiting.
Dude, it's so. It's also, again, I went from a world where I really loved depressing things, and I love sad things, and I love to be a sad, sit in my room, listen to Nine Inch Nails all day long, boy.
Sure, sure, yeah, Downward Spiral, right?
Right. I don't listen to that album anymore because it actually, like, mentally sucks.
By the
like,
way,
I don't
switching
like...
over into spoiler. We're switching over to spoiler Sweet. Town. So now we can actually really start
Death Dies. Death Dies at the end. Death Dies. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Death Dies. No, of course not. You can't kill an immortal unless you do. But I don't. It's really bleak, and it's bleak in a way that I've gotten past enjoying. It's not fun. It's not a fun listen. And you know what? The diner sequence. I'm gonna jump all the way to the end. The diner scene. I didn't like it. Fucking hated listening to that. It was uncomfortable.
That was
it wasn't entertaining.
Absolutely.
It was unpleasant.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It should be.
And I know that was the intent. But guess what? I'm fucking tired of people going, dude, I'm gonna create this thing that's so deeply, darkly disturbing for your entertainment. It's not entertaining, man. But I'm not a 20-year-old who wants to watch Faces of Death anymore.
So
the situation was cringeworthy for that entire story. I mean, I had to listen. I couldn't not listen to it. I was into it, like the whole thing. But
So with that, right, so the whole situation, now that we're in the spoiler town, is that Dream, Morpheus, James McAvoy, that he, love you, James McAvoy, I actually really like,
love you.
I really liked
you so
Wanted,
much.
A lot of people didn't like Wanted, I really liked it, but I'm really learning how to swing my bullets that
the
way.
The only reason that I wanted to listen to this was because I love James McAvoy very, very much. If you listen to me, if you listen to me, I love you. I love you, there.
I forgot he was Mr. Toughness. I forgot he was Mr.
That's the first thing I saw McAvoy in, man. And every time I see him, I'm like, yo, look at that hot fawn.
I'm so glad other people out there
goat legs
liked Wanted, right?
Very uncomfortable for some of us.
So I will say I was enthralled from this from the beginning. Because I love that instead of our protagonist being just a normal dude, which normally I'm like... Normally, I'm really against that because Mary Sue's and whatever they call them, like, you know, whatever the male equivalent of the Mary Sue is, the Marty Sue, whatever the fuck it is, the know-it-all overpowered.
There's a male equivalent of that? I just thought they were all Mary Sue's.
Who knows? I was hesitant with it in the beginning, but Dream gets taken by Roderick Burgess, who is a purveyor of magical abilities, basically, and like a studier of magical magic. And... Roderick Burgess, who sounds just like Davos, and I thought it was Davos, Sea Boy. He summons who he thinks is Death and entraps him, which is actually Dream. And then all of a sudden around the world, everybody's like, oh my God, I can't sleep anymore. What's happening? And then like Dream
or
is
can't
or they
wake
fall
up.
Asleep.
They can't
or
wake
they
up.
Can't
yeah.
wake up. Yeah. Or they can't dream.
Yeah. And then
sleep's totally borked, dude. Don't worry about it. It's fine. It'll take 80 years.
Takes from Dream three objects: his helmet, his bag of sand, and his ruby. And so Dream, when
his head, his sack, and
his
ball,
head, sack, his heart, his he takes from him his Wizard of Oz. Anybody knows that?
I did not until you said that.
Somebody gets a diploma, a clock.
Where does the lion come in?
Courage, right?
Yeah, that's a. What does he give him? Okay, the.
What are the things? What are the things that the Wizard of Oz is going to
give
them?
Yeah, he gives them a clock, a diploma, and a medal. That's what that charlatan gives them at the end of that.
Yes, but it's about the deeper ideas behind it. He gives them the courage and all that shit, right?
Gives them the courage.
Look, he gives them a clock, a diploma, and a medal.
The heart and the brain.
And he tells Dorothy, guess what, idiot? You go home the whole time, stupid dummy.
I can't wait.
Just say some words and click your heels, dipshit.
So anyway,
she got shoes.
Dream is like, fuck it.
Go watch Tron. It's a better movie.
To be my full self, I got to get my ruby, my bag of sand, and my helmet back, right?
So he lost his courage, his heart, and his brains?
Basically, yes.
Cool. I know that's what you were looking for the whole time.
And the first person that he meets to go get these things back is John Constantine. The minute I heard, I gotta say, like, my favorite part of this was, my favorite episode was his meeting with John Constantine and going to retrieve the bag of sand who John Constantine's ex,
who?
Rachel.
John Constantine.
John Constantine.
Yes. And that he and John Constantine go and get the bag of sand. I loved that interaction so goddamn much.
That was so great.
John Constantine.
No, that was great. That's the type of stuff that you're right. They're doing well in this.
This was the other voice that I was really excited to hear.
Who was it?
It's Taron Egerton. Okay.
Ew, that was him?
Eddie the Eagle?
Yeah, that was him.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Isn't he also
my other sweet boy?
He's the bright orcs.
He's the king's boy. Yes. Yeah, no, yes. No, no.
Or was that the other Edgerton?
Kingsman. Yeah. Kingsman.
That was one of those two Edgerton.
First Kingsman, great movie. Second Kingsman, fucking garbage.
Absolutely. 110%.
Haven't seen either of them.
First one, amazing. Second one, you watch to fucking hate it.
Yep.
You watch to hate it.
That's what I watch everything for now, man. Come on.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you, I don't know, Lith, I don't know enough about the central characters in this. Like I said, I've never consumed any of Gaiman because as a human being who's always like, hey man, I think here's the thing. If you're gonna be like a goth and you're gonna be into a comic, you're into The Crow or you're into Sandman. Don't pick both of them, dude. You gotta, like, don't do it.
See,
you just don't.
I don't think, though, I gotta say,
it's like Star Wars or Star Trek.
Lithia, you have a lot more, and I want to actually let you go on about this in a few minutes, because I know you have feelings and you actually know more about this than we do. I don't think at any point in this that Neil Gaiman, Sam Keith, this is actually one of the things that I loved. Sam Keith was one of the original artists. You know what he did?
No.
My favorite comic series. You remember what that was? The Max.
Chobits. Oh, okay.
I was gonna say
Betty Boop.
The Max, which is a product of the '90s in its own regard. Right?
I've heard people say specifically about him that, like, as the artist for that series, that he's the only one that gave it real life, gave it real motion, and an understanding of what the comic was supposed to look like.
And I do believe that Dream's original design was based on Sam Keith's perspective, like his drawing, and he reminds me a great deal of Mr. Gone in, I feel like Dream and Dr. John D, the antagonist of the first arc in Sandman, are sort of like a bad side and good side of Mr. Gone in The Max. So if you've never read The Max, I encourage you to do it, but recognize that it's also from this weird, like, it is a 90s product. Watch the Liquid Television version of it as well. It's fucking unbelievable.
Anything Liquid Television.
It was so good.
You want to talk about Liquid Television, man? I'm going to tell you a thing right now that a lot of people are going to be pissed off at.
You
no,
hate
man.
It.
No, I barely even remember The Head. If you want to watch Charlize Theron be Aeon Flux, I'm not going to be mad at you about
it.
I'm going to watch that movie and I'm going to enjoy it and I'm going to guilty pleasure all the way through, because that's like an early, like, Charlize Theron where you take it and you go, okay, now I understand why you're such a badass is like Furiosa and stuff like that.
As a pretty big Aeon Flux fan, I'm gonna put my hands up and say that's a damn good movie.
Good. I mean, it's a little bit weird. I think the stuff with Trevor they didn't get right, but like, because the Lith is about to throw up. She's about to throw up.
Explode. Go for it. You hated it. I loved it.
Yeah. I hated it.
Let's get back into Sandman.
I hate this book. I hate this audio production.
So Lithia, tell us some stuff. What's some stuff that's on your mind? Because I know you have
give me some information.
Knowledge about these characters, about who the people are, about your feelings.
Mostly your feelings, though. I'm really interested.
Talk about my feelings.
Talk about your feelings.
No, I think that choosing this as the start, what I hope is a start of a series of Neil Gaiman audiobooks that they will do, because I really need more. I have to have more with the different Endless. Having starting this out with
Who are the, can you explain for me, because I only, so where we're at in the in the Sandman arc, the audiobook, they only mention the Endless twice, and so I correct. Don't know entirely, as someone who's new to this, who the Endless really are.
So the Endless are siblings. You have Destiny, Death, Desire, Despair, Delirium, and Destruction.
All D's, the big okay. D's.
The big D's.
The big D's.
Which, doc, as you go into the, what is it, the second story?
Yeah.
Dr. D.
Right. So yeah, is exactly. Is he legitimately Despair? Or Destiny? Is he, which one is he? Destiny, right?
He's not.
That's
not.
What I thought. That's
no.
What I thought.
No. Spoiler. You can't talk about who he is until later on. Because you have to listen. That's one of the reasons why I had to go through this and then listen to it again. Because there was things that I got from the very last two or three chapters of this that made me go, holy crap, it's come full circle. And I had to go back and listen to the beginning of it again and catch points that I had missed the first time when it came to names and characters and things like that. And that's the kind of stuff I like. I like being surprised. You got to remember, it's been 30 years since I've read any of this stuff.
Yeah.
So listening to this was coming back home a little bit for me. When mm-hmm. it came to Dream, I was more into Death. I loved Death. I loved Death as a character. I loved it as a female. I don't even want to call her a protagonist because
they're all chaotic neutral anti-heroes. Like this right. is you're following these characters and you're enjoying. If you're enjoying it, you're enjoying the right. journey that they're on, but they're not heroes. Like that's one of the things that actually I had also a hard time listening to, and I'll let you come back to you in a second. Says, I don't actually enjoy like Dream as a character. Like he's such a dick that I just kind of am like, all right, bro, I'm tired of you being a dick to everybody.
He's morose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I want to like I need. It isn't until you get to honestly past what we're supposed to have read to. The first time where I sort of smiled at anything that happened in the book, and I was like, oh, okay.
So we read through...
One of,
go ahead, visit the list.
Well, one of the things that irritated me mm-hmm. about Death was when he goes into chapter three, when he goes into hell.
Okay.
Yes.
And, you know, this is a very male-dominated series.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to pull out that.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
And he is confronted by one of his lovers
yes.
that is in jail in hell, and she's mm-hmm. being tortured.
Is that Couch High or whatever?
He chooses not to save her.
And she's the one that the story is later on, right?
Yes.
Which we haven't gotten to yet, but there is more about that in the
right,
book.
And you don't get that until later. Mm-hmm. But he says that he doesn't forgive her, hasn't learned how to forgive her yet, and I have not been able to get over that.
Yeah.
Because I don't see how later on he can't forgive her and save her. He's there to get his damn helmet.
Yeah. Well, he's a shithead. He's an absolute not noble's not the right, because that's not the word. I'm an aristocratic prick. An aristocratic prick.
See, yeah. I don't think he's a shithead at all. I don't think he's an aristocratic prick. He's just not human. Like,
no, he's not. But as a human, it's hard to listen to.
As what's her name? As Death says, and I gotta say, my favorite part of the audiobook, other than John Constantine, was Kat Dennings as Death. And I fucking love her. I thought she was awesome. I loved her as Death. Shut up, both of you. I'm gonna be right here.
No, she's kind of dumb.
I loved her.
No, she's not good. I don't like Kat Dennings anyway, but she was not good.
Kat Dennings is always Kat Dennings. There's just no...
Yeah.
I was not enthralled with her representation of Death at all. And it made me sad because I was really excited about it.
And she was one of my favorite parts because... She understood, if not being human, I feel like Death got being human better than Dream did.
Oh, yes!
She straight up says to him, she was like, you are one of the most self-centered, I forget what the phrase is, one of the most self-centered, basically like bag-headed anthropomorphic personifications I've ever met. Like, you're basically a fucking idiot, dude. Lighten up.
Yeah.
Realize that these people are going through legit things, and that's okay. But, like, she's the reason he's going to grow into not exactly being a dick. Although somebody says he's defo a shithead.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's the thing is, like, I don't, and I do think you're right. I think there will probably be change to that in the series. Like, the next story, I think there's change to that. And it's relating back to the story previously that we ended on. But, like, man, get through the first half of this book and not. Just being like, but at the same time, like, there's moments where, like, in hell, where he's like, "Yo, I brought the one thing into hell they couldn't handle because it was the truth, and that's hope. Like, that's the one thing that can, but it traps them in hell.
Yeah,
is hope." And Liz is wrong. Okay.
Talk.
I hated it. I hated that part.
Why?
I hated it.
Why?
It was so cheesy. But come up with something else. I'm the world.
I mean, that was, you're right.
I loved it.
When
he's trying to get his helmet back, so he has to literally like fight the other demon, a fight of the wits. Here's the reason I liked that though, Lithia, is that that reminded me so much of the way that John Constantine makes his deals with the devils in Hellblazer, which is actually, that was my inspiration for going back and reading Hellblazer, was that moment where
wait a minute, Michael Sheen, I love you very much. It's okay. And you're the third reason why I listen to this, so I'm just saying that, sweet boy.
Because I felt like I enjoyed the fact that death at no point, or Jesus, dream at no point, all these big,
come on, bro, get with the program.
Straight.
I enjoyed the fact that Dream never needs to fight. When he fights, it's always at these like beyond human levels of understanding. And so I loved that back and forth wittiness of like, oh yeah, how are we going to fight? Well, I'm going to be wittier than you. And I'm a spider, but I'm the snake. And I'm the, and then that, but it did remind me of how John Constantine basically sells his soul to three devils in Hellblazer to stay alive. And
who,
I was wondering to myself, I was like, is this somehow going to lean back into that? I don't know. I did like that. I liked that confrontation a lot.
Do you remember which three demons he sells himself to?
I can't remember. Do you?
Okay. No, I don't.
Having read it, I'm like,
It's been forever. I feel like it might even be the three lords of hell in this series.
I was actually wondering that too. And there is some stuff going on with Beelzebub as well that I am intrigued about. And Lithia, you might be
like the lying about the helmet
and
stuff.
Yeah. No, I liked all of that. The fight thing just.
If I may ask out of my own curiosity,
you can ask anything you want, bro.
Ask right now. Is Beelzebub, as a co-monarch of hell alongside Lucifer, right? Is Beelzebub behind John Dee's murder spree in the 24 hours? Because there's mention about flies. Don't let the flies out. There's flies in the diner. And I almost felt like there might have been some greater presence flicking John Dee, basically in his bean, flicking John Dee to make him do these and encourage people to do these fucking.
Okay, you realize things. When he's saying don't let the flies out, he's talking about the people in the diner.
Okay, cool.
but no, I get that because.
But that doesn't mean that he's not. Right. Yeah, like.
At one point, he has two of three of Dream's things that he's looking for.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the eyeball amulet?
Oh, no. I'm thinking of the eyeball. Yeah, the eyeball.
Yeah, what's the eyeball?
So the eyeball is a protection amulet.
I mean, is it elsewhere important? It's not. I mean, it's not the Eye of Agamotto. I'll tell you that much.
No,
completely different universe, bro.
No, it's just an ongoing theme.
Okay.
Throughout it, because that's the thing that Sykes has.
Mm-hmm.
Sykes has the eyeball because that's what demon gives him.
Yeah, and that's what she steals and allows
and gives it to her.
Are we talking about Sykes from Alien Nation, or have I gotten my crossovers wrong?
You've gotten
somebody actually. Somebody mentioned Johnny mentioned here. He says death deals with humans at their most vulnerable. She's born at the end of human life, so she needs to have more emotion. And Morpheus is born of man's buried emotions, his man's subconscious. He's made of the best and the worst of us, which I think is an interesting thought, because this is almost like a growth tale of death. A growth tale of Dream, like becoming like, here, Dream, here's how you learn to be. Here's how you learn to be to be.
Exactly it. That is exactly it. He was imprisoned for 70 years.
Yeah.
He has to relearn how to not only be himself, but to have that little bit of empathy that helped him with, because he's not just nightmares, he's dreams. Yeah. He's all of dreams. Happy, sad, crazy,
good,
indifferent, good, bad, all the dreams.
I loved the thematic, sorry, my cat was coughing. I loved this thematic understanding that, like, you're coughing, buddy, that I forget that when we talk about dreams, that it is both good and bad, and that Morpheus is responsible for both hope. And we see John Dee manipulate that terror. I got to be honest with you. I know we're jumping around. I fucking loved the 24 hours in the diner. I thought it was the best part of what we read. Other than
I'm not saying I didn't like it. It was just really
it was uncomfortable.
Brutal. It was
It was more as a shithead nerd, man. It was more brutal than I enjoy out of my entertainment. Like I'm listening to it for entertainment, and like I you can tell me about some of the stuff, but it gets to the point where I'm listening to it, and I'm not, and I'm nervous because I know the things that are happening that they're hinting at.
Yes.
And I don't like it. I just don't like it. It's not
people
enjoyable or fun to me. It's
not.
Let me tell you about my experience listening to this.
Oh, I didn't mind I don't mind the lady kissing the corpse. That was fine. It was the stuff that was it wasn't the dreams that he was giving them.
Yeah.
It was the straight up like the weird sexual manipulation that he was doing and stuff. I'm just not down with it.
If I can jump really, because I know you said you had a funny like story about you reading that. I think one of the reasons that I like that, and I feel it's necessary, Bob, is that moment where I realize that Dream needs to come in and fucking end this guy.
Yeah, of course.
And
but
John
you always
D,
know that.
John Dee is beyond reproach. He is beyond any kind of healing. John Dee is fucking horrible beyond
except for the fact that when he comes in at the end of the book, he says, I'm not going to punish you, I'm just going to take you back home because this isn't your fault,
and
tells him it's not his fault, and that's bullshit.
It's also Dream's fault in a way too. These
are
objects of great power that he no longer he shed his responsibility over them, as obviously they were taken from him, but he's also one of these endless, right? These are these objects of great power that if they fall into human hands do terrible things. And so I do put some of that on Dream.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But that's the problem is, you know what? He doesn't. I don't think he does. He doesn't. Humans are insects. He even says at one point that like pretty much humans are insects to him. That we don't have anything in common. They mean nothing to me except for like what my duty is to like as it's my personification.
Duty.
He doesn't give a shit about a single one of the people in that bar.
It's very Greco mythology, like Greco-Roman mythology, where it's like humans actually only exist to basically praise us, to be the things that we manipulate. Lithia, you were gonna say, I'm sorry.
It's mythology.
Sorry. Yeah. It's mythology.
No, it is typical mythology. Yep. It's all the mythologies smooshed into these seven endless.
Yeah.
When I was listening to that chapter, 24 hours, I was in line in the drive-through line at Popeyes because I needed some lunch.
Cool.
And I got up to the speaker right about that time, and as I was getting ready to order, that's when all the sex started happening on my car audio.
Nice.
And immediately I was like, oh my God, I have to turn this down. Wait a minute. And I realized how I was like looking around going, did anybody hear me listening to that?
Yeah.
And I didn't have that problem with any of the rest of the book, except for that little part, but I couldn't stop listening to it.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't pause it. I needed to have it playing because I was invested in what was going to happen. Even though I knew what was going to happen, I was still invested in it.
Yeah, I wanted it to stop. Like, I just wanted it to stop.
Would you say that
which is, I think, is maybe a point of it. Yeah. And sure, that's great. But again, and this is preference and opinion.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
A consumer,
right?
It's not my bag, and I'm like, it's just never going to be, and never has been. I'm not down. I don't like torture porn and stuff like that. Like, it's the reason I've never watched the Hostel movies and stuff like that. Like, I don't want to watch the Purge. Stuff like that's not like, is, I don't know why I don't consider it entertainment. And sometimes when like people are like, hey, I love those things, I'm like, oh man,
Purge is an idea I wish I had come up with.
I know. Yeah. I mean, it's a brilliant idea, but
brilliant.
That concept of the human id left unchecked is horrifying.
Yes.
And it's the only thing in the book that I listened to so far that I'm like, this is scary. Oh. It's actually scary. And maybe that's it. Like, I'm used to watching Jason Voorhees chop people up with machetes, you know, like Freddy Krueger stab people in their dreams.
This is a different feeling, and I hate it. What humans can do to other humans, whether in control of themselves or forced by others and coerced into that act, is the more heinous thing. I remember, I think about this a lot. I think about the first season of American Horror Story, which a lot of people who know me know that I never watched American Horror Story past it because I got my horror story with the first season. And it wasn't the ghost sex stuff. It was the young man going into the school, blowing everybody away.
Oh,
that
yeah.
It scared me to be beyond what any like supernatural or horror based thing could scare me, and it's one of those things that I always think about of humans. What humans do to others is always more horrendous. So I think that's also one of those places where I found that I started to appreciate Dream a little more. Was that I was like, you know what? I get that these humans didn't really choose to do these terrible things to one another in the diner, that they were being manipulated by John Dee, but also John Dee is more or less a human, and he's sparking that terrible part of them. And I was like, I just need something greater than a human to come in and fucking deal with this. And that's where the weird fantasy and speculative fiction part of it that I liked came into it. I trusted in that moment that Dream was going to like solve the problem.
Yeah, but you know right from the beginning of the story that he's not. Like, technically he's not. Like, he comes in, he has saved no one.
Everybody's still dead.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not just dead, tortured. I mean, they spent 24 hours of, like, unimaginable torture.
So not knowing what...
And they had no idea. That's one of the things that really messed me up, is... they had no idea they were even being tortured. They came out of it once.
Where is
and that
death,
was it.
If where is death involved? That's one of the things that's actually that's in my head that I can't get out. If death is responsible for death, right? Where is she at in that process? And is that one of the reasons why the chapter right after the 24 hours in the confrontation with John Dee is when death shows up and is talking to him? Like, I'm like maybe
as a writer she just didn't exist yet.
I don't that's one of those things that's really bothering me, because I'm like,
she was like, dude, this is even too much for me,
right? So does death have responsibility even over like that forceful murder and destruction and desecration of other people?
I think there's probably a level of fate that like you mess with that can be modified. Also, where has she been? Because if you're going to talk about speculation, why did the ritual capture Dream and not death? Was she somewhere else she shouldn't be?
They misinterpret, as I remember.
It's what it is, just a misinterpretation in the words?
At least how it's said at the beginning is that they, Alex Burgess, Roderick Burgess's son, is like, basically, Dad, you summoned the wrong thing.
Dad, you blew it.
You fucking blew it, Dad.
Hey, Dad, we were sitting here. We were sitting in the living room watching our television, and you decided you wanted a burger, but instead you got a hot dog.
Here's Lithy at the bottom laughing because something is up, right? Something is
up. Good job. Good job, Boomer.
Good job for you. Good job, Davo C. Wonger.
Yeah.
Okay, so voices. voices. Any voices that I don't know who a lot of the people were that were reading them. Is there anybody that I should be knowing?
The one thing that was frustrating for me is that you do not get a full breakdown of every single person who was doing audio until the very end. So if you want to put people together, there are absolutely files online. There's photos online that will tell you all of the voice actors, but not all the characters that the voice actors do.
Does the included PDF have that?
It does, but it's after each episode. It's
yes.
So
No, there's literally like a PDF where I opened up and it just shows it as a giant list.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where's my damn phone?
I have it.
Are you talking about it's hard to see here, but that one?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that.
Yeah.
Oh, because there's two pages. I'm an idiot.
Right.
God, fucking idiot.
Shut up.
God, you're so stupid. Why do I even do the show with you?
I'm sorry.
Oh, Andy, wait. Okay, while you guys are looking for that, and you're looking for that, let's talk about the choice to create Cain and Abel as this weird Laurel and Hardy pair where Abel just stutters like an idiot the whole time.
So they were in original characters.
Their
from
original
DC universe.
Yeah. They're original characters from DC.
Yes.
Okay, well, what I'm saying is like, why? And I'm a monster because I'm just like a stutter like an idiot. When I'm the one who's like stuttering as a character trait, maybe we shouldn't be doing that nowadays. Like,
I think you have to go back to originally what Cain and Abel were from. Okay.
The
Cain
Bible.
And Abel were from the Bible. All right.
What? And what were they? They weren't original DC creations?
Cain. Cain sounds like Vincent, like a really bad Vincent Price.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Abel, I've got you your own gargoyle.
Look, Cain needs to come in and go and make the fire shoot up. Fight with the Undertaker. That's what I'm talking about. That's the Cain I'm looking forward to.
All that matters is they have pet gargoyles. I'm fine with that.
That was actually so.
Gregory
so
the Gargoyle.
Lithium,
gargoyle
if I can ask, did Cain and Abel return in some capacity in the future? I presume they do.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because
yes.
That was that part, those two chapters where they were there, and it's like, here's your gargoyle named Gregory, and also here's your baby gargoyle. It's Irvine. You can't fucking name him Irvine.
It made no sense.
There's stuff that's going to come up later. I get that there. Well, I think the idea too is that there are stories in the dream world that have been tainted by the fact that Dream is not there.
But he failed everyone.
But also, it felt real. I don't know. It just felt unnecessarily long. I think one of my problems. So I'm going to say this. From the get-go, for as much as I really enjoyed listening to this, and I'm still enjoying it, and I sort of want to go back for a ride tonight and continue listening. Yes, I'm that person right now. I want to go for a ride so I can listen.
Sorry.
I feel like it's almost
not stupid
too,
or anything.
I read the first arc of the comics up through where we talk to where he takes care of the John Dee problem and then meets up with Death afterwards. I almost feel like it's too loyal. The comics. It is word for word from the comics.
It is very
cool.
Much so.
I don't
it is.
Know the comics, but I think it's cool.
There are times where
you
I
can
actually,
see them online.
Yeah, it's the PDFs are on there. I'm almost feeling it's almost too loyal to the comics, where there are these moments where like Cain and Abel, where I think that could have been compressed a little bit, and we could have gotten right back into the stuff that mattered a little more for that moment.
Weird. Not being exactly. Exactly loyal to the comics might be a boon instead of a detriment.
Yes,
isn't that what I was saying earlier?
Well, I mean, yeah, but I can't turn this around on me. I'm just saying, it's an audio production, okay? It comes with all of the,
don't baffle him with facts,
baffle me.
Bob.
No,
come
I'm trying,
on.
I know, right?
It comes with all of the.
English teacher.
All
that
of
was
the
cool.
Problems.
Good job.
You did.
High five.
You did. It comes with all the problems that the comic books themselves, though, come with as well, which is you need to possess a pre-knowledge of these characters outside of Dream and Death and all of them, to know, like, if you were had never read a DC comic, when he's like, Dr. Crane is in Arkham Asylum, and like, I was like, oh, Scarecrow, and anybody else would have been like, who the fuck is that? When they're talking about, you know, who else is another Gotham character that's come up that I'm like,
Martian Manhunter
or Justice League, where they're like,
right,
the League of,
or
you know,
Scott Free,
the Weird,
yeah,
Sisters are like, the League of Justice, which is weird to think of the Weird Sisters talking about the League of Justice. I was like, okay, I'm glad that I know who these characters are, because otherwise this would be a fucking mess.
I do say that one of the things that you're talking about, Sis, you're talking about Gaiman and his obsession with mythology. That's all this is. This is, it's combining modern mythology with ancient mythology, in the fact that, like, that's all superheroes are. They are modern mythology. They're the stories that we made up. They're the gods among men. They're just like Zeus came down and, you know, in the Greek gods and the Roman gods, they were always coming down and fucking and sucking with humans. And
what were they doing with humans? Can you tell me?
Fucking and sucking with humans.
Can you tell me again what they were doing?
They were fucking and sucking with humans.
Fucking and sucking with those humans.
But like, that's the thing, is their gods came down until we had things like comics. Like, our god doesn't come down. I say our god, the god that we as Americans,
sounds like a fucking heavy metal song,
Christian American society,
our
are
god
stuffed with,
doesn't come down.
That would be an awesome
that
song.
That god doesn't deign to come down and interact with humans. He doesn't come down and have sex with us. He just pointed a finger at a lady and was like, yo, you got a baby now, it's my son. Here's a Jesus for you. And so, like, to have, like, superheroes who are among us, as I keep talking about the Injustice games, gods among us, that, like, that's what he's doing, is he's taking these modern gods and these ancient gods and he's slapping them together. And I think that's a cool concept.
Yeah. Bergamot in the chat says, I remember reading these and I knew Bupkis about the DCU. Like, that's, I felt grateful going into it, being like, oh, like,
it was a Scooby-Doo moment for me when they were talking about the Justice League. Because I'm like, oh my god, it's like a secret.
The other thing, though, is that they mentioned, like, New York and Delaware. So I gotta be honest with you guys, I'm not up on my, like, Batman lore enough to know, or my DC Universe lore to know. Isn't Gotham City New York?
No.
So is it? But
it's not. No.
But
New York exists
in the
DC
world as.
It's, they're both there.
Okay.
Like, you've got New York,
yes,
Bloodhaven, Metropolis. Like, they're all.
What is Smallville? Bloodhaven? Is that where, like, Mobius and the vampires?
That's where Robin goes to become. Like, that's where Nightwing works.
I'm going
to
go into Bloodhaven. I'm going to fucking live in Bloodhaven.
And it's spelled B-L-U-D, okay?
Is it fucking really? Are you serious? Yeah. Burn the DC Comics universe. It fucking sucks.
Go down 95, get off on 295, just keep on going. You'll see that exit, Bloodhaven, and that's where it is.
There's and yet Johnny in the chat is saying Gotham is Chicago. That's where I always thought was that.
Really?
That was, yeah, that's where that idea that I felt was.
I never actually.
Because it's water, but it's land. It's like land bound too.
I had a thought in my head, and this
and I watched.
Did it piss out of your brain?
It just fucked off. It fucked right off out of my brain.
It just went out. It was gone.
It fucked right off. You guys talk for a second.
Oh man, look at that guy. Look at his brain just farting.
Just
and just
crapped
the eyes
out.
Just glazed.
Just entirely glazed over.
So I mean, is
the
there
brain
any,
fart was audible?
As the person that didn't like the reading,
yes,
like, we should switch it up. As a person who didn't like the reading, I'll say that things that I enjoyed about it were the integration of regular DC characters into that world, knowing that it's part of the mythos of DC Comics, though that's all been rewritten,
it's all been retconned
anyway,
at this point,
since the Crisis is and all of that other stuff, but knowing that I'm going to go into it more and actually hopefully have some more interaction with other DC characters that I like and give a shit about might be cool. Because let's be honest with you, the only times I've been overly excited about it is when there's a character that I know that I'm like, oh, look, John Constantine. Oh, look, Martian Manhunter. Like, those are the times where, like, hey, I like this. And then the rest of the time, I'm like, I don't really care about this story. Mm. But I was saying, so there are things I like about it. It's just that's, I think, and the production value is great, even though I don't enjoy the manner of the production.
I think there are moments where the production value does lean almost too heavily on. I remember what I was going to say earlier. I think the production leans almost too heavily on its interest to be like an old radio drama, where I hear specifically the way some of the seedy men and the women are encouraged or directed to talk is very, very like old school radio drama, but it doesn't come across as well when you've got like really authentic readings like the guy who plays John Constantine, John Constantine, or even Jake Boy McAvoy. These really amazingly nuanced readings that are then sort of off put by the guy who does Kane. He's like, I'm trying my best to get an Emmy and or an Audible award, and this is, I'm fucking doing my best. And you're like, dude, just fucking reel it down a bit and be a legit real human the way Jake Boy McAvoy is doing, because he's just going, I'm dreaming of a bear.
Yeah, is he like, being a real boy?
Yeah,
I feel like he's being an overdramatic boy, and it's okay.
Yeah, but it's dream.
I think it fits, and he's, yeah, and that's it.
I mean,
like,
all those guys trying to win
great.
Awards.
Look,
all them.
He
Ethel,
sounds great.
Ethel's
he
trying
sounds
to win
hot. I'm going to need him and Neil Gaiman to have a voice threesome in my head
please.
Later.
Please. Yeah. Please.
But,
yes.
It's just their voices talking to me, okay? That's it.
That's all it is.
No text stuff, just voice threesome. So yeah, like I agree. There's some over the top readings and under the bottom readings too.
Yeah,
Kat Dennings reading, sorry bro, sucked.
I liked it because she was normal. She was a normal human person.
She doesn't sound like
She doesn't sound how I have heard death in my head.
Yeah, I think that's actually that's exactly it. Like having seen pictures in our cultural consciousness for 20 years. I think you take an iconic character.
Can you move your head
who's...
so we can see Death really quick?
She's there.
Death's on the left. For some reason, I saw the hair and I was like, okay, cool.
She's this iconic character visually that, like, if you've seen a goth kid with a t-shirt on, they've probably got a Death shirt somewhere, you know? It's either that or The Crow or Johnny the Homicidal Maniac, one of the three.
So you've got, so for those of you who can't see it, so behind her, Lithia has a picture of The Endless. Who are the seven big D's, and it looks like you have the lead singer from Lacuna Coil, Assassin's Creed, Robert Smith, Triple H, Michael Jackson, Tiny Tina, and E Honda.
No, not E Honda. No. This is Animal. Georgia Animal Steel.
Gotcha.
Get it right.
Okay. The fact that you pulled out Tiny Tina and it's only going to work on Twitch. Nobody else is going to understand who the hell Tiny Tina is. I was thinking more a young Yolandi from
Antwoord. D-Antwoord.
That's who I was thinking too. That's exactly who I was thinking.
On fire. Yep.
Are they canceled now?
Yo, yeah. Ninja sucks.
Okay.
Yeah. Ninja
okay, cool.
sucks. That
I just
guy
need
is
to be sure.
Fucking garbage
I haven't
bag.
Listened to any in like forever.
Wet...
Just
that guy's
to
a fucking wet sneaker of a human being. That
okay,
guy,
bro. So
that guy's a fucking above ground pool of humanity.
Wait,
a fucking like he is an old cow tongue of a person, dude. That guy sucks ass. He's like a
is
fucking
it a cow
stain
tongue that's
on
been cut out,
tie.
Booked, or just left to sit out in the
just
sun.
Just left to sit out in the sun. He's a fucking stain on somebody's tie. He is the hot, wet, farted on old tag on the back of someone's fucking sweatpants.
Is he the sweaty bicycle seat during a hot summer day after a 15 mile ride?
Yep. He's like that patch of sweat on your shirt that stays too long after you've dried everything off.
Dude, is he the talcum powder in between my leg and my ball sack after I've gone for a really long run and it turns into like a little pill thing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little pill thing. He's the little pill thing of humanity.
The little talcum powder dingleberry of humanity.
Nice. Lith, is there a thing that you did not like since you're enjoying it? Other than it's like the stuff that we've talked about.
I have to say, one of the things that really stuck out for me was that there were not more people of color in the cast.
Mm-hmm. Bingo. I agree. Yeah. 100%.
I do too.
I wanted to mention that, but I wasn't sure if I was going to get the whole, this is a thing from the 90s and like all these characters were these colors.
Never.
Like,
look, and it actually really, and I'm embarrassed to say this, it really sunk in when I found this picture literally an hour ago. Yeah. And I was like, wow, Death would have been an amazing, amazing actress. They could have, look at her. She's Egyptian. She encompasses all of that. We couldn't find somebody. We have Riz Ahmed, who is amazing in this. Mm-hmm. And he's really the only main character that we have.
And you're right. The only people of color who are in there is sort of like these no-name actors that they got for, I guess, the authenticity of the ethnicity.
Yeah. And see, that's the thing is like
about it.
And they do talk about that. The one thing I will say that they talk about that I actually wish they leaned more heavily on is how Dream appears to different people as different things. Yes. Yeah, for some reason, whenever they describe him, he always looks like Robert Smith from, you know, The Cure. Instead of like the one time they're like, oh, this person's African. I guess he looks like a black person. And that's sort of like, okay, well, why can't he just, like, my idea of what a person who'd look like the personification of Dreaming is going to look different than Rance.
Right.
Why can't that be a different, and don't get me wrong, James McAvoy, great pull. Like, you scored 10 out of 10, would read again, just from James McAvoy.
Yeah.
But, like, instead of that, why don't we take each story and go, okay, this one's James McAvoy, this one's a different actor, this one's a different actor.
Johnny says that that's 80s, 90s DC for you. Like, yep,
it really is. It's the truth. And it's that difference between the 30-year difference.
Yeah.
You know, now we can look at it and we can say, wow, I'd really love to have had this person or this person, and we can self-cast it all we want to. But when it comes to what I would have wanted to hear, Kat Dennings, great. She's a lot of fun. I enjoy her. But we could have found somebody else.
You're right. I'm right there.
My husband just walked in and he doesn't realize I am on. Get out.
I'm right there with you guys when it comes to that. Right. I think what.
Hey, you have a mute button. You can hit the mute button. You can just hit mute.
I'm gonna pull a Jake Boy McAvoy. Oh man, I'm dreaming.
He's actually a lot like who's that guy?
Tom Hardy in Mad Max.
Oh, Max.
My name is Max.
That is our brother-in-law.
I hate your husband.
All four of our family.
I hate your husband so much.
I also like the fact that like Dream shows up and he's like, he shows up to John Constantine and he's like,
give him a hot kiss.
He's like, Dream shows up and John Constantine's like, You can't fuck. You're not going out looking like that, are you? And he's got like skulls and shit on his jacket, right. Like fire.
And it's shifting, but it's changing.
Right. But it's changing.
Bloody serious?
He's like that external awareness that we hopefully have as readers, where we're like, we get the joke. And John Constantine's the first person who gets the joke for us because he's that much of a fuck off, right? Like he just wants to sit in bed, drink, and smoke cigarettes. And that's sort of who we want to be. And that's the thing is that John Constantine is the first human character in this story that I sort of like, I can connect with him. I get him. Mm-hmm. I'm not seeing the John Constantine that's like researching occult shit. I'm seeing the piece of shit who wakes up and he's fucking wanting.
And the first thing he does is smoke a cigarette.
Yeah, he's the John Constantine that followed around the Bromley contingent and is like, a British. Probably scout. Was he a scout scumbag? And like our grandfather was.
I think he is from Liverpool, isn't he? Isn't Constantine
yeah,
from Liverpool?
I think you're right.
And like he's the most goth. He's like the most goth human there is, and he's like,
oh my god, just smoke cigarettes and wear that trench coat all day long.
You're fucking gonna go out dressed like that? You are. What the fuck is wrong with you? So I do
you
like
have
that.
To, you have to smoke cigarettes like.
ASMR.
All right. We got to close it up. So final thoughts.
Final thoughts. It is, you can go into listening to this without having known anything about previously, about the dreamscape, about the endless. But it does help to have a little bit of background on this. But the voice acting, in my opinion, is worth it alone to go ahead and give this a first listen, absorb it, and then maybe jump back into it again and listen to all the details of it.
Cool.
Bob, your final thoughts, you want me to go? Doesn't matter.
You go ahead. You go ahead.
I can almost wish they had put less time in the production. I want to hear these amazing voices, and even the not-so-amazing voices. I like how it feels like an old radio drama, but sometimes it's almost too much like an old radio drama. I don't need to hear if somebody's getting their eyeballs stabbed out. I don't need to hear them screaming. I just need to hear the description of it. The reason I say that is because I think that's where some of the artistry can come into this as a new piece of art, right? As a new way to consume it, is you don't have to let me hear that, but rather let me a moment to hear Neil Gaiman talk about that. To read a description, whether it's a new description he wrote or pulling something out of the comic to really describe that. The man is an absolute Lothario with words, right? Like, he's amazing. Mm-hmm. He's amazing. Some of the things, I was literally listening to it going, this guy's got to feel fucking awesome reading his own words like this and mm-hmm. just feeling good about having created something so cool.
That's a big dick energy move right there.
Yeah, it is.
Can you imagine having to be the director to say, no, Neil,
just fucking do
Neil,
you.
Excuse me. I'm going to need you to reread that for me. I just didn't feel it. So, excuse me. It's my fucking book.
And Neil
I'm going to say what I want.
But you know that Neil Gaiman's probably like, all right, then I'll give it another shot.
Exactly.
Yeah, whatever you want from
me.
I'll do it.
He's just that cool.
All right.
He's just that cool.
You know, I don't know Neil Gaiman. I don't know anything about the dude whatsoever.
He hasn't been deeply canceled yet.
No, exactly.
No,
you still have more? Keep going. Sorry. I was interrupting.
I'm looking forward to finishing it. Does that mean that I want everything I listen to be like this? No, it's like a special little bit of dessert, right? I'm going to encourage, like you had said earlier, Bob, and I think Lithia, you did too. Anybody who's not a normal audiobook reader, I think, would fucking love this. I will
Absolutely.
Say, after I'm done with this, I'm going to enjoy going back to something a little more low-key that is just a legitimate audiobook. So for the remainder of this one, I have to really enjoy the overproduction of it.
Sorry, bro. Sorry. What I got coming up for you next,
yeah,
which we won't talk about this week. Cool. We'll announce it next week. It doesn't get any better.
Overproduction?
Yeah, it's overproduction.
Can't wait.
Will you text Sorry. Me? Can you text
Sorry.
Me?
Sorry. I mean, I don't know. Do you want to announce it now, even though next week is...
We're going to finish off Sandman.
We're going to finish off Sandman next week. Yeah. I'll get through my final thoughts, and then maybe I'll announce what we're doing 2 weeks ahead of time so people can
get it. And in the meantime, too, if anybody in the chat has any like questions or thoughts or last things you want us to mention, go ahead and you can start putting that in there now.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off on your final thoughts. I agree that I think it's a great gateway drug. I don't begrudge the audiobook itself, its production value. The narration is beautiful. I mean it, like 90% of the narration in the book sounds like an audiobook we deserve as people who have put millions of dollars as a society into Audible at this point and everything that Amazon creates.
I use all my free credits.
I mean, I do too, but you're still paying for them every month. And I like it is refreshing to it's a great concept. I think hopefully yes it will be an awesome backdoor to pilot for other comic related properties to maybe come into this other world and go, all right, we're going to take a classic DC storyline and we're going to find a way to make that another audio drama, and we'll do it again. And it may not be the thing that I listen to, but it'll be a thing that expands the art form some. And I think that's awesome. I think that if you're into like spooky stuff and you're into comics and all that other stuff, yeah, check it out, because I think that it's great for that. It's just not my personal choice, but it doesn't mean that it's bad. I'm not once ever saying that this is bad.
Right.
I'm saying it's not the thing that I'm into.
Sure. I think that makes sense. I mean, and that's, I think coming
that's in, legitimate.
Yeah, I think there's just a matter of what you hear you do not like or you do not enjoy as much.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? And I'm not going to actually bust on anyone for liking a thing to be honest with you. I like things that people think are shitty.
Oh, it's okay to like a thing.
I like a lot of shitty things. And it's okay to like a thing that other people think is shitty. Let everybody enjoy the thing they like.
Sure. I'm actually also glad, too, that we came into this week with an imbalanced perspective. For one, I love the fact, Lithia, that you were here doing this. I hope you're coming back next week to do it with us too.
Mm-hmm. I loved being in here with you guys. This was a lot of fun. I was really excited about it. And I was excited to share thoughts about this, because I mean, I'm a geek.
Lock the door next time so your husband doesn't come in.
I'm gonna beat him.
You're allowed to.
Beat him.
I love the fact that I got to do this with you guys. I also love the fact that we didn't see eye to eye on it, right? That, like, I could literally jump back in my car right now and listen to more of this. And I know that, Bob, for you, that's going to be a bit of a hassle.
I'll get through it, and it's fine.
Next week, next week we are finishing up. If you are listening into us, along with us, we're finishing up Sandman on Audible Originals. If anybody, before we go, I would like to play the trailer really quick for anybody who might not have heard it, so maybe it'll pique their interest to do so.
Cool. I think it's free to do that, like, right? We're allowed to do that.
Does that mean we get to hear Neil Gaiman
all? You get to hear James McAvoy. I believe you get to hear Neil Gaiman.
I'm all for
so
it.
I'd like
Let's
to play it.
It
really quick. And,
I'll just be over here listening.
You know what?
Getting wet.
He's my professor.
So let's listen.
Eventually,
because there's sand right now.
Oh, we can't hear.
I am a passenger. I am moving through your dreams. All your dreams. And you never knew.
Cool. No, I do. I love his voice. I also love some of the production they've done with his voice in this as well. Like it's very like around your ears.
Oh yeah.
That's the last bit I have for this. So next week we're finishing up this Audible original, and we're gonna come back with our final thoughts next week.
Sounds good.
Absolutely.
I'm gonna see if I can have a game set for you guys next week too.
Oh man, please. Yeah! Please do it. Real quick, going back and looking at the chat, Bergamot Morning says, Neil Gaiman, plundering a defenseless public domain since 1989. let's see what else we got here. It's Johnny says it's a mess even when you know them a bit, just because there are so many cameos.
Yeah, that is one of those things that, like, I almost wish they, like, for the sake of uninformed readers, like, chopped. Like, when they start getting to, like, scot-free and all that shit, I'm like, can we just, I'm just gonna mentally move forward. Martian Manhunter was another one. I was like, can we just skip past this part? Like, I don't give a fuck.
No, except that actually what's really funny is that's the stuff that makes me go, hey, I'm a learn more about some of these characters that maybe I don't know about. And then I'll end up going down a comic hole or a Wikipedia hole for a while and being like, no, now I know about this and this is some interesting stuff.
The Wikipedia hole is hours long because I went there.
Cool. Yeah. Hey, should I tell everybody about 2 weeks?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. So next week we are doing the next half of the rest of this book. The week after that, we're going to jump to cyberpunk master William Gibson's treatment of Alien 3, which is an alternate version of Alien 3. It takes place as if Alien 3, the movie, didn't exist.
Good, because Alien 3, the movie, is a fucking garbage pile. So I hope William Gibson.
It's a hot
dude.
Mess.
This book is not any better.
Is there an Audible
and it's
version?
Also,
of it?
It is a yes. That's what it is. It's an Audible production. It's fairly short. It's very high production value, and I think Michael Biehn is in it.
We hope you have enjoyed this Audible production.
So that's pretty cool, but it's not great.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I guess any last thoughts? Are we good?
I think we're
good.
Awesome.
Awesome. I'm Rand.
Thanks, love bros.
You. I'm Bob.
I'm Liz.
And this is the Quarantine Book Club. Thanks so much for showing up. Next week, we'll be back with this. Yup.